Today, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And if you're brand new to that idea, we'll walk through it in a little bit. But the main idea today is that God has given you gifts that when we become Christians, that there are these beautiful spiritual gifts that God gives his people. And that you and I are works of art uniquely wired by God to love him and enjoy him. And so that's what we're going to unpack today. I'm so glad you're with us. For 8 weeks, our desire has been in this series to discover the love of God for us, the persistent, the available, the tender love of God for us. And we've been asking for a number of weeks, and we'll ask it again today, do you remember the love you had for Jesus at first? Go back in your mind. Remember those days when you felt maybe closer to Jesus, and maybe recently you feel like there's been a little bit of distance or a little bit of coldness of heart. And as I walk through those seasons, like in those moments, what I long for is a deeper union with Christ, a deeper sense of the love of God. And so that's what this whole series is about, is to return to our first love, to rekindle our love for Jesus. This fall, we want to throw so much kindling on the embers of our soul that this passion for Jesus would be renewed, that a love for the Father would be reignited, and that we would experience the joy of returning to our first love. And as I've said it every week, I'll say it again, I really believe that your richest, your deepest, your most beautiful years of following Jesus are not in the past, that they're before you, they're in front of you. And what we're praying for is just a renewal in our church family of the love of God. And so I'm so glad you're here. So a quote has meant a lot to me by Charles Spurgeon, and I want to say it again today. Quote, believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you. And Jesus, we come here today with that promise in mind, with that picture in mind of just a tiny spark that we have. And we pray that in your mercy, you would meet us with a whole furnace of desire towards us, for us. We want to see and capture your love for us again. So come, Holy Spirit, move among us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So in this series, as many of you know, if you've been part of it, we're walking through seven practices or seven disciplines. We're talking about evangelism, community, prayer, scripture, serving with our spiritual gifts, repentance or confession, and worship. These seven practices help us to follow Jesus. And this fall, we want to walk through these seven, but with a new lens. We want to really discover how we come to know the love of God as we practice these seven things. See, I want to practice these seven areas out of a deep union with Christ. And so today, we've arrived at serving with our spiritual gifts. Serving with our spiritual gifts. How can you and I serve God out of a place of deep connection and love? How can you and I serve God in the unique way in which he has wired us? And how can that restore in us this deep love for Jesus? You see, I can serve Jesus out of a pretty bad place. I can serve him from a place of exhaustion, from a place of bitterness, from a place of legalism, or pride, or fear. And I don't want that. I want to serve out of a place of deep union with Christ. And so this is our prayer today. God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. That's it. God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. When I was preparing the sermon, I thought of a little illustration that might help. I want to tell you about my kids. Occasionally, my children get inspired to clean and do chores, which is really awesome. But most of the time, they do not love to clean or to do chores. When Tanya and I ask our kids to clean the house, they look like the Far Side cartoon of the Boneless Chicken Ranch. Remember that picture? Here it is. So all of a sudden, their bodies go limp and just start to drape all over couches or chairs or the floor. You know, all of a sudden it's just whoom, down onto the floor. No, don't ask us to do this. But what's really interesting is that there's one chore that's different. And it's really funny. There's this one category that's a bit different where they have a lot of joy in helping to clean. And it's cleaning the family van. You know the family van. Cheerios in every corner, nook and cranny, you know, random bubble tea cups strewn about the seats, veggie straws crushed into the carpet, plastic toys from McDonald's that are kind of broken and half pieces everywhere, and then just sand everywhere. And it can be February and you're like, what, sand? How, you know. So I'm usually assigned the task of cleaning the van. And when I invite the kids to come with me, miraculously, this one, they're like, yes, they want to come. And I'll tell you why. I buy them French fries. They know if they come to clean the van, they get French fries. And so they're helping. And, you know, and some of you might be judging me already. You're like, if they're eating French fries in the van, you're trying to clean the van. Anyway, just leave it to me. We have our own system. But what they do is they pop open the trunk of the van and they'll sit in the back of the van and eat fries. And so, you know, I was thinking about this routine. I thought, what is it that they love? And well, you know, number one, they love French fries. But, you know, number two, I thought about it more seriously. And I thought, I think they like spending time with their dad, you know? And then number three, deep down, I do believe they love to help. And I think, I honestly believe this about children. I think they do want to help. They want purpose in their life and to feel like they're part of a team and accomplishing something. So the fries are great. But here's the deal. They get to spend quality time with their dad. And they're wired to serve. They're wired to contribute and wired to help. Now, with that illustration, think about your heavenly Father and think about you. You and I are wired to serve, but deep down, we really want to be with him. Deep down, we really want to spend time with him. And to know, it's like take your child to work day, right? That we've gone to work with our Father and we're doing the work that he wants to see happen in the world. So today, with that picture in mind, I would like to argue that if you are feeling far from God or distant from God, and if you feel like the love for your Heavenly Father is starting to run dry, try loving your neighbor in the unique way in which you're wired. And when you do, I believe that you'll experience the love of the Father because you'll be spending time with the Father and nearness with the Father. You see, when I serve, when I love others, when I discover the gifts God has given me, and when I spend my life using those gifts to bless others, see, in that place, what's happening? I'm learning his heart. I'm enjoying the gifts he's given me. I'm doing his will, which pleases him. And I'm on the front lines of seeing his kingdom come. That is an experience like no other. There is nothing better than that. And so we pray, God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. If you grab your Bible, would you turn to Romans chapter 12? We're going to be in Romans 12, and we're going to look specifically at verses 3 to 8. 3 to 8. If you're new to Jesus, a little bit of a background. There's a guy named Paul in the Bible whose life was radically changed by Jesus. He's writing a letter to a church in the city of Rome. That's why we call this letter Romans, right? Pretty simple. And he's encouraging this church, and he wants to tell them that they are one body. This is a big deal for Paul. You're one body, one family, right? But within the family or within the body, we're all wired in a unique way. And he wants the church to hear that. So this is what he says to them, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. It's a beautiful list of these gifts. And Paul's trying to get the church at Rome to see you, as followers of Jesus, we are part of one body. The Christian life is not an individualistic thing. It's an us thing. It's a we thing. Together, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you and I are one body with many members, so we've got eyes and arms and legs and ears and fingers, and all of these members do not all have the same function. Each member, though, belongs to all the others. So do you see this beautiful picture of unity, but diversity? Diversity within the unity. It's beautiful. We belong to each other, but we don't have the same function. So when the Holy Spirit fills the church, you have a unique role to play that I cannot play. Did you know that? Each one of us here has a unique contribution to make. We are wired differently than everyone else. We have been given gifts from the Spirit that are different from others. Now, this list in Romans 12 is often referred to as spiritual gifts. Now, if you're new to Jesus, you've got an advantage here because you can learn all this with like a clean slate. For some of us who've grown up in the church, I don't know if you know, but the phrase spiritual gifts is not in the Bible, spiritual gifts. The closest we get to spiritual gifts is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, which Paul says, now concerning pneumatikos, which means spiritual things. But there are several places in the New Testament where we get these lists of different ways in which people are serving or worshiping. And we're gonna just take a little tour of those places here for a second. They're all very unique. And as we tour some of these Greek words, I want you to see that these are all different Greek words that we kind of use to bundle together, and we call them spiritual gifts. So, in Romans 12, we hear the word charisma used for this list. What are these? Charisma is graces from God to the church. Gordon Fee says, this is a list of a charisma, which are a concrete expression of grace. I like that. In 1 Corinthians 12, we hear the word phanerosis in Greek. What are those? Those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit in worship. That there's certain things that happen as we gather to worship that are distinct and they're gifts from Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have a list of things that are called doma, which is gift. And these actually seem to be leadership roles from Jesus to lead His church. In 1 Corinthians 12, we hear the word diakonia, which are forms of service, serving. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, which if you're noticing, 1 Corinthians 12 is packed with this stuff, we hear another word, energemata, which are energies or powers for God's people. So five Greek words, charisma, phanerosis, doma, diakonia, energemata, grace, manifestation, gift, role, service, and power. So when I use the phrase spiritual gift, I'm referring to all of these bundled together. And here's what they have in common. All of these are these beautiful moments where God shows up through His Holy Spirit in the church. And He gives us grace to love one another, charisma. He gives us a manifestation of His Spirit in worship, phanerosis. He gives a gift of leadership in the church, doma. He gives a new way to serve and care for each other, diakonia, and a power for freedom, for hope that is made real among us, energemata. In other words, these are all beautiful spiritual gifts from the giver of the gifts. And we want His fullness to fill this church. Why? Because we want to see all of His character traits. And I'll say more about that in a second, but when we see each other use our gifts, it's like we're seeing new ways of coming to know God and His gifts. So how many gifts are there? Well, I'm gonna read some passages here. I'm not gonna read the full passage. I'm just gonna show you the words. They're gonna be bolded. And I want you, if you have a pencil or a pen or your phone, when I read these 20 different words or phrases, I want you to just listen to your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you maybe one word, two, three, maybe, that apply to you. That when you see those gifts, you're like, yeah, I think that's a gift God has given me. So here we go. Romans 12, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, mercy. Or 1 Corinthians 12, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance/administration. Let me pause there for a second. Some of you have the gift of administration. And I want to say, I think many with the gift of administration don't realize it's a spiritual gift. Right? This is how God has uniquely wired you. I just want to highlight that for some reason. Someone needs to hear that today. Be encouraged. And different kinds of tongues. Ephesians 4, we hear of leadership roles in the church like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we have these 20 gifts mentioned in the New Testament, but I don't think we need to limit God to this, to these gifts alone. For example, where's the gift of prayer? Or where's the gift of leading in musical worship, right? They're not in those lists. But remember, these lists were written by the Apostle Paul to highlight ways in which God was at work in the church at Corinth. And then he writes a list for how God is at work in the church at Ephesus, and then in the church at Rome. Right? So while we have these 20 gifts mentioned, the Spirit is sovereign, and he can move in whatever way he chooses to move. As John Stott says, quote, "The living God who loves variety and is a generous giver may well bestow many, many more than that." I love that. You see, the Spirit is delighted to give different gifts to you and I so that together, here's the deal, we enjoy him as we love one another. That we enjoy time with our Father as we use the gifts the Father has given us. You know, I was writing this, that sentence, that actual sentence, when my son ran into the room and he goes, "Daddy, what are you writing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm actually writing about spiritual gifts." And we talked a little bit about it. And I said, "Micah," you know, he's 8 years old. And I said, "You know, God has given you gifts as well." And immediately he turned to me and he goes, "Like being awesome at hockey?" I was like, "Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Also with humility." But no, I love that, right? And actually, it's true. Like, so as we think about our life, how can you then use that, a love of hockey or whatever? How is it that the Father is leading you to use this gifting that you have, whether it's a natural wiring that he created in you, or a specific spiritual gift that he gives you at conversion, when you give your life to him and are filled with the Holy Spirit? Either way, use it to love your neighbor as you love him. Listen to Paul encouraging the church at Ephesus. I love this. "For we are his workmanship." Pause. That means we're his piece of art. If you're new to Jesus here today, you need to know you are not randomly here on the planet. You are created in God's workshop, created with a purpose, wired in a certain way. He's the artist, and when he created you, you are his workmanship, and he designed you differently than he designed everyone else on the planet. You're his workmanship. Then it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Like, the purpose of your life, you have purpose in your life. The purpose in your life is not to be an endless consumer of material things and goods and then die. That's not the point of life. The point of life is that there is a purpose. God has given us the gift of his kingdom. His kingdom is on the move. God is restoring all things. God is renewing all things. You get to join him with great purpose in the world to love your neighbor as he fills you with these gifts. Like, there's a reason that you're here, and that you've been saved and rescued by God in order to be a blessing to the world around us. There's a purpose. So you're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's beautiful. So I would like to illustrate how wonderfully unique each of you are. And I want to do it through an illustration that was given to me by my professor, Daryl Johnson. He got the image from Dr. Glenn Thorpe. And I've used this image before. Just so you know, we did a 13-week series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you're wanting to do more of a deep dive, those videos are on our website. You can do that. But this is an illustration I used in our series a couple years ago. And I'm going to use it again because I think it's helpful. I was really thankful that he sent this to me. So I've tweaked it a little bit, but imagine I'm carrying a box of Tim Hortons donuts. Yeah, it's good. Okay, and I trip over some cords. Let's say I'm just kind of walking in front of you randomly with a box of, you know, all of you, and then I just kind of trip over some cords, and then the donuts go everywhere, and I go everywhere. Yeah, I'm just on the ground, and I'm lying there, and donuts are around me. And let's say seven of you approach me, seven of you are there, and the seven of you represent the seven gifts in Romans 12, okay? So you represent, you know, one of you has the gift of mercy, one of you has leadership, one of you has giving, encouragement, so on, exhortation. So I'm lying there on the ground, okay? Can you see this in your mind's eye? Okay, so I'm lying on the ground, and the first person comes up, mercy. Mercy, the person with the gift of mercy comes up and says, "Oh, Matthew, it's okay." Right? We all make mistakes. And they just kind of give me a hug. They put their arm around me and they go, you're going to be okay. Right? So mercy kind of meets me down there in that place on the ground. Maybe that's your gift. The second person comes up. They're the person with the gift of leadership. The leader comes up and says, "All right, somebody get a broom and a dustpan right now." They start delegating. Somebody grab some duct tape and tape those cords down. "Hey, you, run to Timmy's, grab some more donuts." And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna set up a task force to look into the problem of like random cords on the ground, because we can't have this anymore. Leader, right? Leaders, we need you, right? We need you to soften your tone at times, but we need you. Just kidding. Giving shows up and goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 before he leaves, I'll buy the donuts. Here, take my card. And also, let me give you some money to the church to buy a better audiovisual system so you never have to tape cords down again. It's on me." And some of you have just this pleasure in doing that. You're like, "I'll write the check, it's all good." And you love giving. A fourth person comes up, they have the gift of exhortation. And they say, "Hey, Matthew, next time, you should walk around the cords." This is, you know, when you're on the ground, you're like, "Oof, don't need the gift of exhortation at this moment." But it's okay, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, so it is good. And I need to be honest with you, buddy. Those cords were in the wrong place, and you need to talk to your tech teams about that. And I know you don't want to hurt their feelings, but you got to be honest sometimes, all right? So I'm like, okay, gift of exhortation. The person with the gift of teaching comes up and says, "Okay, now, the reason this happened is twofold. So point number one, cords should never be left unsecured. And point number two, the donuts should have been more securely wrapped. But let's end with the gospel. God loves you. Do you know that he is the one who fell to death and is now lifted up so you and I never have to fall again," right? Thank you, gift of teaching. Yeah. And the gift of service comes up. And you know, the beautiful thing about the gift of service is they don't use their words, right? They immediately had already run to the janitor's closet, got the broom and the dustpan. They were on the ground serving while everyone else was yakking. They were like Jesus already, you know, serving within seconds. And then finally, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy comes up and goes, "Here's the deal. This is what happens when you're not careful. Here, do you see the parable in this? Cords, always lying across our path in a spiritual sense. The evil one is always trying to trip us up. We need to stay alert to the dangers around us, both visible and invisible." All right, those are your seven gifts. And I want to thank Daryl for that, you know. Now, you're there. You're in that list. Where are you? You know, how would you respond if I were to fall on the ground and donuts were to go everywhere? You know what? You know, and however you respond, it's beautiful. We need you. We need you. When the spiritual gifts are active in the church, we're seeing the Holy Spirit. See, when those seven people react in that way, that is seven different ways in which I come to know God. God does those things for us, right? He teaches us, encourages us, right? Gives us words of prophecy, like he serves us, gets on his knees, and all his mercy. So I come to know him. See, when I see someone teaching the truth, I come to know the Spirit of truth. When I see someone share wisdom, I come to know the God of wisdom. When I see someone give generously, I'm like, yes, God is a great generous giver. And so this is what we're doing. We're just stewarding our gifts, and it's all just a little angle of how magnificent God is. And then when we do, when we serve in those gifts, it's like we feel close to him and near him. And so I want him. I just don't want his, I want the giver, not just the gifts. I want his presence, C-E, not just his presence, T-S. Yes, right? Holy Spirit, give us your charisma, your phanerosis, your doma, your diakonia, your energemata, but over all these things, give us yourself. We want you. Like cleaning the van, right? We just want time with our Father. We spend time with him. Eric Liddell, AKA the Flying Scotsman, was a Scottish runner and a Christian missionary who won the gold medal in the 400 meter race at the 1924 Olympics in Paris. Some of you know his story. His story was depicted in the movie Chariots of Fire. Anyone seen Chariots of Fire here? Yeah, just a few. Beautiful movie. And he's a Christian, right? And he said this about running. He said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. How amazing is that? And it was Professor Gordon Fee who encouraged us to apply that to spiritual gifts. Apply it to your life and say, fill in the blank. So God made me to what? God made me to give. And when I give, when I'm generous, I feel his pleasure. God made me to serve. And when I serve, I feel his pleasure. God gave me the gift of leadership. And when I lead, I feel his pleasure. God gave me the gift of teaching or prophecy, on and on and on, mercy. When I do these things, I feel so close to him. I feel his pleasure. This is such a practical way for you and I to return to our first love. In my life, this last year, I know I've shared a bit about this, but I took a leave from work for several months. And I was wondering if God had a bit of a new path for me, a different career or job or different focus for the kind of second half of life. I felt open to serving maybe in a different way or a new way. And I needed confirmation. I needed clarity from the Lord. And this beautiful set of things started to happen. It was in April when I was invited by a friend of mine, not our church, but at a different church in Langley. They had decided to have a prayer retreat at the Mission Abbey in Mission, the Westminster Abbey. Some of you have been up there before to the Mission. A beautiful property, and there's a cathedral there. And so I went with this church and just spent the day there. And the idea was just, you just have your Bible, you have no cell phone, you just spend the whole day, luckily it was sunny, and you just walk around the property. It was a big property, forest, trails, and you just listen to God. Listen to God's voice. And so in April, I went and I was walking around. I couldn't hear much. But then I've mentioned this before a few weeks ago, but that I felt God bring that Eric Liddell quote to mind randomly in the afternoon. So all morning, I felt like I wasn't hearing from God. But in the afternoon, it came to mind. I said, why is that coming to mind? When I run, I feel his pleasure. Huh. Clearly, it's a metaphor because I don't like to run. I tried to run for like 20 years, and I was like, "This is the worst." Like, anyway, so it's a metaphor, right? So my second half of life is not going to be running. So God, what's the metaphor here? Like, when I run, I feel his pleasure. So I was thinking about that, and then I get an email, and it's within days of this happening, from a friend of mine who says, "I had a dream that you were experiencing lots of joy." Done, right? And I'm like, that's it? I have to like email back, like, what? Why did I have joy? What was that? What was going on in the dream? Tell me more. And they graciously told me a bit more of the dream that they had had. They said, well, you opened up a pair of new shoes, new running shoes. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. I'm like, again, hope it's a metaphor, but you know, I'm tracking with, okay, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And then like, I've got a lot of joy as I open up these new shoes. Wow, that's weird. I had been praying that someone would have a dream about helping me give clarity about, you know, next steps in my life. Then in town, Later on, I met with a friend of mine who said he had been praying Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is like the longest chapter in the Bible, so it's huge. But he had been praying these specific verses, verses 25 to 32. And he shared them with me over coffee. And he said, well, here's the deal. And then verse 28 said, my soul is weary with sorrow. And I was like, check. Yes, I'm feeling that. My soul is weary with sorrow. But then verse 32 said, I run in the path of your commands. I run in the path of, I can't get away from this running idea. I run in the path of your commands. I'm like, whoa. And so I'm like, God, what are you saying? You know? And then as I started to just think about these three things, you know, the prayer retreat, my friend who had the dream, my friend who's brought a verse of scripture, you know, I started to go, okay, God, I feel like you're, and then my mind started to see that anytime someone brings the good news in the Bible, it's the euangelion, it's called the gospel, it's where we get the word evangelism. It's this image of someone running with the good news. It's like they've got a scroll in hand, and like in the Roman Empire, a runner would run to a village and say, hey, good news, you know, hear ye, right? A new emperor has been born. Or they'd run to, and they'd say, you know, Caesar won a war up in Gaul or whatever it was. And good news, you know? And that the New Testament writers use this image of a runner to give this image of good news, someone who shares the good news. And I thought, of course, the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. They're running, right? And then Ephesians, some of you know the armor of God. Well, their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I started to see it everywhere. And then this image of bringing the good news. And I just sensed that God was saying, Matthew, I have wired you to be somebody who experiences joy as you share the good news. It could be, thanks. But I was so encouraged by that because I was like, it doesn't have to be in a large setting. It could be one-on-one, like so much joy. Like whenever some of us and some of you in the room know, like you're new to Jesus and we get to have coffee, like it's like, it makes my day. Like there's nothing greater than that moment of getting to share the good news. And I thought, yes, for the second half of life, all I want to do is share the good news and to be like a runner running with that good news. And I share this story to say God wants to have that same kind of moment with you. I believe it. He longs to give you clarity. He wants to speak to you and to show you how you're wired, the way in which he has given you these gifts. And so let me give some options of how you might discover your spiritual gift. Here's a few, five quick thoughts. First of all, look at your life. Have you taken time to look at your life? What are these ways in which you are naturally wired that you would say, even when you were a young kid, that you would say, I've been so wired. God in his work of art has wired me in a certain way where I feel joy when I do these things. Or look at your life. Do you remember giving your life to Jesus Christ? Being baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit and just going, oh, I have a new joy for something. Something was different from before I was a Christian to after. Do you remember that? Just look at your life. What was it? Write it down. Pray about it. Secondly, pray for the gifts. Did you know that Paul encourages us to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts? Listen to 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Desire them. When you saw that list earlier, was there some on there that you're like, I don't have that, but I'd love to have that? What if you prayed for it? What if you took Paul up on his challenge? Pray for it. Ask God to give you that gift. Number three, notice the needs around you. Oftentimes, God gives us gifts when there is a need around us. It's very practical. I love how Frederick Buechner says it. He says, quote, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So you look around you, you see needs. You see people hurting. You see needs in our city, in our world. And then you say, well, actually, I experience a lot of joy when I do this. And where those two things come together is just so beautiful, right? Say, that's where God's calling me. And I think God's delighted to break our hearts for our city and reveal his love for our neighbors and say, okay, I'm ready to give you some gifts for those needs. Number four, Pastor Tim gave me this great insight, is just very simply, ask people around you who love you, who you trust. Hey, what are the gifts you see in me? What have you noticed over the years? Because sometimes we can't see things in ourselves. Sometimes it takes someone from outside of us, that makes no sense. Anyway, someone else, to look at us and say, hey, I see this in you. Do you remember that moment when someone affirmed something in you? And you were like, really? Like, I've just never noticed that about myself. You were really good when ... right? I was really blessed when ... And you and I can practice to be the kind of people who are actually affirming gifts in each other, right? How often do you and I encourage each other and say, I see this in you. I think you need to fan the flame of that gift. Do it more. Practice that one. That's great. And then finally, see the need and then just try it out. Try it out. This is called the jump into the deep end approach, right? Just start loving your neighbor. And sometimes you just suddenly discover these gifts. This really is kind of a summary of everything I just said there. But as Sam Storms, a pastor, says it, he says, quote, God will more likely meet us with his gifts in the midst of trying to help his children than he would while we're taking a spiritual gifts analysis test, right? So he's saying, just go for it. Roll up your sleeves, get in there, love your neighbor, and see what happens. So look at your life, pray for the gifts, ask a friend, see the need, and try it out. And our simple prayer the whole time is, God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. Now, we all know that there's some pretty bad ways to serve. And I'm going to give you just a list of about 5 or 6. And I just want to tell you, I've done all of these things. I continue to struggle with all of these. But here they are. We know that there's a way of serving that is anchored in people-pleasing. We know that there's a way of serving that's rooted in trying to earn God's love. We know there's a way of serving which assumes that if I do this for God, then God owes me. And we're frustrated when it doesn't feel like God's holding up his end of the bargain that we assume he agreed to. There's a way of serving from a place of bitterness, feeling like, well, now I've got to do this because no one else is stepping up. On the opposite end, there's a way of serving that says no to everything until the perfect, low-cost, less stressful, low-bar, least demanding option rolls around. And you know, I hope you know this, if you've attended here for a while, I think boundaries are very good. I think margin in life is very important. But there's also something called boundaries run amok, right? Where we have such tight boundaries that we end up doing nothing. So I've done all of these, by the way. I've experienced all of that. I've experienced the pull towards each one of these ways of serving. And what I'm hoping for is that you and I would experience this beautiful renewal here in our church family, and that why we serve is coming out of a place of deep love and affection from the Father. And I just want to remind you of your identity. You are the adopted, all of you who've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are the adopted children of God. You are part of his family. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And he, in great love, poured out the greatest gift, which was Jesus Christ, and who suffered on a cross, was pierced for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we're healed. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, giving you life. And it's like all of death and evil and sin is on a retreat. It's being conquered by the kingdom of God, and you are welcomed into this kingdom to be part of it by grace. This is who you are. This is your identity. And it's out of that place of deep love and affection where you are called to the front lines of the kingdom to use your gifts for him. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, come and move. Great giver. God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. Let's stand together. I'll invite our worship team out. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Prayer team said a wonderful thing to me this morning. They said, we would love to specifically pray for anyone in the room who in your life, see if this is you. You see a need, no matter how big or small, you see a need, and you're really not sure that you have the gift to be able to help. The prayer team is saying, would you like to come forward or to the prayer room or up front and ask for that gift. Eagerly desire that gift so that you can be the person who meets that need. How beautiful is that? I love that. The prayer team would also just love to pray for anyone who is like, fill me, Holy Spirit. I just want to receive your love. I'm serving out of a place which is maybe not good, and I just need your healing and your love in my life. So let's pray. If you want to close your eyes, you're welcome to. Even if you're new to God, maybe this is your first time praying, you can join us in prayer. Great giver, Spirit of God, come fill this place with your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us the greatest gift. You. You. We love you. We pray that we would experience renewal in you. I lift my friends to you, God, right now in this place, as they look back on their life, as they think of the gifts you've given them, fill them with joy. God, I pray that as my friends begin to use their gifts and experience your love, God, that they would feel this unity with you, this nearness with you in the days ahead. Father, open our eyes. Give us clarity to how you've wired us, how you've shaped us. And we want to spend the rest of our life enjoying you, receiving your love as we love others.